Cheers abroad on Sucker Laguna Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to SL Airways Flight 016. This is your captain speaking. Today our flight is headed towards Northern Ireland, where we will land at Portadown FC in some very snowy conditions. The onboard entertainment for this flight is none other than Katlego Mashego. Please keep your seatbelts buckled at all times and note that this is indeed a non-smoking flight. Once we are airborne, food and drink will be served. The expected arrival time may change due to the snow conditions, so please, until then, sit back, relax, and enjoy the onboard entertainment. I am joined by Portadown FC youngster Katlego Mashego. Katlego, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. Thank you for joining us today. Let's start things off by getting a better understanding of your background, if possible. Would you care to tell us about how you got into football?
So basically, I was born in Shashanguve, in Pretoria. Mm. And my mom got a job opportunity here in Ireland. And she just wanted to come for a few months because she always wanted to come to Ireland to just like experience something new. Mm. So she left me and my dad. But there was no intention of actually coming over here. It was just simply she wanted to come over here because, you know, the exchange for money is a lot higher than rands. So she saw an opportunity. So as time went on, it came to a point where she asked me to come. And then at first, I remember this exact day. I was in my grandma's and I was like, nah, I don't really want to go. I don't want to go. I want to stay here. And then she forced me to go. Came back, and I went. And luckily, it was around January time. I was only like 5.
Okay.
So, got on a plane, went into Ireland. Cold. Because, you know, like in South Africa, January time is hot. It's just after December.
And then you go straight into winter in Europe.
Straight into winter, freezing. So then I started school. And these times I didn't know English. Didn't know English that well. I was only learning English in starting creche. So I didn't really know anything.
Okay.
And then we went. And then obviously I didn't have any friends there in school or anything. So there was a local football team called Phoenix. And my mom was like, you know what? You can just go there and there's going to be something for you to do. And I'm like, oh, what am I going to go do? And it's like, oh, you go play football. These times I didn't know what football was. I never played football in South Africa. So
yeah, of course.
It was something new. It was artificial pitch. I was like, wow. You know, so that's how it started. It was just started from just, I was born in the house on the weekends. My mom saw a newsletter come in and saying, oh, you can go there.
And was that your first academy, would you say? If not, did you go to an academy? What was it? How did you end up joining? Was that the academy, Phoenix?
Yeah, that was an academy. It's literally just a local team. That was my first experience of actually just playing football, putting on a kit, my first soccer boots. That was my first experience of just like interacting with people and playing football. I wouldn't really say competitively, but like, yeah, with other people.
And now that was obviously quite some time ago. Do you remember what it was like when your mom first said to you, okay, come, let's go. I'm taking you here because you seem bored on the weekends. When you first got on the pitch, were you like, actually, this is something I could see myself doing?
No, honestly, it was like, at first I had no interest. I had no interest. I was one of them boys where you'd look and you'd be like, what is he doing? You know, because I was so fascinated. I was more fascinated about the astro pitch because I've never seen it before than the actual football. Mm. So, you know, on the astro pitch, there's like little black dots. I was literally like picking at the black dots. I'm like, what is this?
Those are little pieces of rubber.
Yeah. I'm like, what is this? Like, how do they make this? Like, that's what I was more fascinated about. And then I was like, put my hands behind my back and just like, I just had really no interest until later on, a few months down the line, until my dad came. because my dad is a big Atlanta Pirates fan. He's a big football man.
Okay.
And then I just surrounded, because I'm a big believer in, you're the product of your own environment. So my environment since ever since he came to Ireland was football. So there's always football on TV. He's always watching the Champions League, Steven Gerrard, Paul Scholes, you know, all these players.
Of course.
And then he'd have like the radio on, they'd be talking about a lot of Pirates. They'd be talking about, there's like so much going on. So then and then he'd be shouting at the TV, oh, do this. And then I was like, oh, this is what I'm doing, you know?
So you could say that your father played a big role in your upbringing in terms of becoming a professional footballer.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think without him, I don't think I would have played football.
Well, that leads me straight into the next question. In 2018, you did an interview with Kickoff Magazine, and you mentioned then, as you just have done so now, that your mom took you to a football club. If you weren't brought over to Ireland, if you stayed in South Africa, do you think you would have ever, touched a football?
No, I don't think so. I was even having this conversation with my mom like 3 weeks ago, and I was like, and I genuinely asked, I was like, mom, do you think? And she was like, no, I don't think so, because we never really had the time or the resources to take you anywhere, you know? It's very different here. It's very different here in Europe because a lot of stuff is close and whatever, but we lived in Shoshone. Like, where was the time during the week to take you to, let's say, to Trials for Pirates, to Mamelodi Sundowns, to whatever? Like, there's no time. You would have probably played here for the junior team, and if it got you somewhere, but you were never really into football when you were younger. So I don't, for me, for what I got from the conversation was, it was a very slim chance that I would have played football.
All right. Well, Kadleko, from Phoenix, I believe you joined St. Kevin's Boys. How was it joining a club knowing that they've produced Premier League legend Damien Duff and current player Robbie Brady?
It was big. It was really big because I wanted to leave Phoenix before that. I think I left Phoenix at under 14. I wanted to leave Phoenix at under 13. And my dad simply just said no. Because for me, Phoenix at that stage was, no disrespect to the club or anything, but I felt like I was going to start whether or not I was going to train or not. Do you know what I mean? I was going to start. There was not much
competition. You were kind of ready for the next step in your career.
Yeah, there was not much competition. And we weren't really winning trophies at that time. And then my ambition then was like, I want to get scouted. I want to experience something else. You know what I mean? I want to experience more competition with better players and win football games. Because we were really a mid-table team. And it was like kind of like the second division of schoolboy, you know? So it wasn't even the top division. So I was like, I don't really see this team go up to the Premier. So like, I'm just thinking like, I want something new. So there was St. Kevin's Boys. And then I talked to my dad and then he was like, no, I don't want you to go there because like, you were here all your life, you're in Phoenix. And I'm just like, Dad, if you don't let me go, I'm not going to play. And I said that straight. I was like, if you don't let me go, I'm not going to play. I'm being deadly serious. Like, I'm not going to play football. And then...
Got a tug on the man's heartstrings there.
Yeah. And then I don't know what made me say that at that time, but I was like... Obviously, the previous year, he said the same thing. I was like, no. I was kind of like sick of it this time. I was like, this is what it is. And then he obviously gave me the opportunity to go. And I went to St. Kevin's. And at first, I wanted to try out for... the big team, St. Kevin's, because the big St. Kevin's in my age group were the best team in the country. That all the best players.
Okay.
And the players were well known. These players were known as they're going on trial to Man City's, the Man United's, you know. So these
kind
were like
the place you want to be.
Yeah, this that was the type of environment I wanted to be. So when I went there, they said, you're not good enough. I said, okay. And then they said, we're gonna take you to the second team. And then I was like to my dad, well, you know what? I'm gonna fight for my place and I'm gonna go to the second team. A lot of people didn't agree, but I knew like I just had to be patient and my time will come. So I went there. Then the league we were in, I got called up to represent them. And then it was basically, this is tournament in Ireland that they held for representations of leagues called the Kennedy Cup. And it's like all the best players in the country from all the counties in Ireland. They go to one place, and then they play football matches, and then that's where they pick teams for the Republic of Ireland squad. That's where all the scouts come. So I made that squad. We came third, and then that's when I got recognition to play for Ireland under 15. There's a few clubs interested, like Reading, but it never really actually happened. But that's when I kind of made a name for myself, really.
From St. Kevin's Boys, you moved over to Fleetwood, I believe. You spent a few years there playing and representing the under-18s and the under-21s. Let's not forget that Premier League and England striker Jamie Vardy represented Fleetwood just before he was signed to Leicester and then obviously made it big and got to where he is now. Has that provided you with motivation, knowing that it is possible, what I'm doing is actually what I want to do and I can go further?
Yeah, of course. Especially when I went to Fleetwood, I knew Jamie Vardy was there. And you can just kind of see the environment, because Fleetwood now is a club that wants to give young kids a chance. So I just knew that I was in the right environment. And even now, obviously, that I've moved on, I still feel like it's possible, you know, to get to the very top, because that's every kid's dream, you know, to get to the Premier League, to get to the top, to get where Jamie Vardy is, because it's never too late, because he made it in his late 20s and I'm still young, so you know. And then I'm thinking, like, I still have this many years under him, and
yeah,
when he was my age, I'm ahead of him, so when I'm his age, so I should be where he is.
As long as you have the right mindset, anything is possible.
100%.
And then you moved to Fleetwood alone, and you mentioned that in the 2018 Kickoff magazine interview that this move was more difficult than when you moved to Ireland when you were 5. Why was that?
Do you know, I feel like I've always wanted to go to England. In Ireland, like, your dream is always to go to England at 16.
Yes.
That's like that's like a benchmark. That's like, because on my Kevin's team, 8 of us I think went to England. We were signed by professional clubs, so that's like kind of like the benchmark on how good you are, you know. And then it's for some kids, it's like, if I don't go to England under 16, then it's like I haven't made it, you know.
Okay.
Sometimes it's not the case. Sometimes it's just not your time. But it was difficult. I would say it was difficult because I didn't know how demanding professional football was. Like, it was my first taste, and I didn't know how the amount of pressure for you to perform on a, not even on a, like a, on a weekly basis, but on a daily basis, and how important training is. And me getting to England, I thought maybe, like, I didn't really think I've made it, but I was like at least I've got here. But it was just not enough for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was still more to go. I was in the under 18s, but I still need to get to the under 23s. When you get to the under 23s, it's about impressing the first team manager. Impressing the first team manager is about now going on to the next stage. Like, it was just a non-stop cycle of just keep going. And I feel like that affected me mentally, and I questioned on whether did I really want to be a footballer. And then obviously without having my parents there as well, it was like I never had anyone to express my feelings to on what I had. Like, they were always on the phone call, but it just wasn't the same. It wasn't what I was used to.
No, of course.
And then it was just a number of things. I got injured in pre-season, like 2 weeks before our pre-season tour in Holland. So it was just like, I missed my pre-season tour, another chance to impress. And then that one, I feel like that hit me the most. It got to the point where I even rang my mum crying on the phone saying, I want to come back home. I'm like, I'm just fed up, like, now. And then she actually convinced me to stay. She convinced me to stay. She's like, no, just give her a chance. You're injured, you're probably full of emotions. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And then I got back from Holland after just doing rehab all the way through, didn't touch a football. I got back and I feel like I still struggled to get my form because I was putting so much pressure on myself. And it was really, really difficult. So I reckon like it was from like midway, like from pre-season to about January, I felt like I was just not myself. I was just playing because I was just putting, you know, when you're trying so hard to do something, but it's just
out of reach.
It's just not working. Yeah, it's just out of reach. And even working so hard, but it's just out of reach and getting more frustrated and you put more pressure on yourself and it's just gaining.
And the more frustrated you get, the more difficult the task becomes.
Exactly. And then me going into, and then I knew the expectation I had from the Fleetwood managers when I came in, because when I came in, they were telling me, we have projected you to be in the first team by 17, 18, like you're going to be there. Like they rated me so highly. Like I was the first person they gave a contract to within the under-18s. Like they thought I was going to be the next big thing into the first team. So even like not living up to them expectations, it affected me massively. And then basically like the first season was just like, it was just really all over the place until the last 3 months. That's when I really gained confidence within myself and actually just gave them a glimpse of what I have to offer.
And at your time at Fleetwood, you were coached by former Manchester City baller Joey Barton. And let's just face the music. During his time in the Premier League, a lot of people called him a thug. He was violent. He was hectic. He was pretty eccentric. Did that behavior transfer into his coaching techniques? What were his ideologies and philosophies of coaching and just, you know, passing off the knowledge in general?
Do you know what? Like, I was very surprised by Joey Barton. Like, I was very surprised. Like, when he came in, there was loads of speculation, like, Joey Barton this. I have my friends text me, what's he like? Does he punch players? Does he do this? I'm just like, no, like, he's actually a nice person. Like, he was the first manager that came into the club, and then, like, the atmosphere just completely changed.
For the better?
You could see, like, the first... Yeah, for better. Like, it was like, before I came, this was during my second year. During my first year, the first team was so out of reach. Like, you just looked at them, you're just like, oh my God, like, it's going to take a long time to get there. But, like, when he came, he changed the dynamic so much. Like, the first team just became, you know what, I can do that. Do you know what I mean? And then he made it clear that if you're good enough, I will give you a chance. I will 100% give you a chance. And then he gave a couple of people in our team a chance. And I became, and then from that, it motivated me. And I started training more with the first, with under 23s and built confidence within myself. And I was playing well. You know, like he just changed. And even like just little things of, we had to clean boots as under 18s. So he'd literally walk past us going into the canteen, and he'd be like, oh, how are you, how's things? And then, do you know what I mean, just like he'd actually talk to you and it'd feel like he'd have an interest within your life, you know. And then dude,
not the Joey Barton I remember.
And literally, like, they're the little things that people probably didn't see.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that it was like, what touched me was like, he actually knows my name.
Okay.
I mean, all the managers there, like, no disrespect, like, they call me kid. Like, hey kid, do you know what I mean? And then it's not like you can even say anything. It's just this manager actually knows my name. Like, he knows this is me.
Was Barton the head coach of the first team at Fleetwood?
Yeah, he was the head coach of the first team.
And he gave you your debut there?
I didn't actually make my debut at Fleetwood, but the first team and the under-23s were very, like, close. So the under-23s of Fleetwood was more treated like a reserves. So if you didn't play for the first team on a Saturday, you'd probably play for the under-23s on a Tuesday.
All right.
And during my second year, I was I was performing a lot better. So I was integrated into the Under-23s, and I was kind of playing Tuesday, Saturday with Under-23s and Under-18s. So four Under-23s games, he'd come and watch. He'd sometimes come in and have a chat with us, saying, listen, like, this is, like, I remember one time he came in and he was like, which one of you actually wants to be in the first team? I mean, go out there and show me what who wants to be in the first team, who wants to be in my squad, and stuff like that. So he would say a lot of them things, and he would watch games. Even if it was away, he'd make sure the games were called and come back and watch the games and see who's actually doing well and stuff. So
put the effort in as a due diligence.
Yeah, he was really interested in the academy and bringing players in. Even under 18s games, if they were home, we'd play like at 11 o'clock and the first team play at 3 o'clock. So during that time, he'd come for the 11 o'clock kickoff, watch our game, and probably leave at like 1 o'clock for the first team game.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now airborne and you may remove your seatbelts. The crew will start serving the main course, and after that, we will continue with the onboard entertainment.